to shoot. David Beckham. Oh, goodness me.
Awful long time. And now they're stretched at the back. The US have numbers. Altidore squares it. Dempsey's missed it. Donovan Hazard. From hope, there is glory. It's London Donovan.
Se va escurriendo hasta que llegan los botines de JJJ con la derecha.
This is Sunday League's finest podcast with David and Obi.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Sunday League's finest. I'm your co-host Obi Hernandez.
And I'm David Donis. Welcome, my friends.
I low-key didn't want to announce who David was because I'm looking to replace him.
Me? You're the one who should be replaced, man. I'm carrying this podcast in my back, son.
Our loyal listeners will have to decide that one day. Well, yeah. Everybody, thank you for joining us once again, where we're going to pretty much wrap up. There wasn't too much to discuss in clubs, you know, international break, but there was plenty of international friendlies, as well as the Nations League. So, David, take it away.
Yeah, man. Definitely not a lot of club soccer going around, but we'll talk about the international stuff later. Right now, what we got to talk about is Siggy Schmidt. It has resigned, a.k.a. fired from the LA Galaxy. What are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, definitely officially resigned, right? But more like forced to resign or was going to be fired. I actually really like it. I was actually calling for it, for him to be fired. I'm not going to say Dominic Kinnear is much better, but just to shake things up, you know, get these players nervous. Like, hey, they just pretty much fired the coach. Maybe our contracts won't be renewed if we don't get into the playoffs, you know?
But let me interrupt you. Don't you think it's kind of weird to do it at this time? Shouldn't it have been done at the end of the season or at least sooner?
Would have much liked it been sooner, but I mean, I was literally right during the international break, I was speaking about needing to fire him, so I'm perfectly happy with it at this time. Whether we're going to make it and miss playoffs with him or without, I mean, it's not going to make much of a difference, but to pretty much shake everybody up and be like, all right, let's go.
See, I would have just let him finish out the rest of the season because, I mean, right now it's playoff time and for a new coach to come in. And...
Well, that's the thing, though. It's not a new coach. It's an assistant coach who's been an MLS head coach before.
I guess that's true. I don't know. I don't really see the point in it. That being said, I know you had said earlier on last week's podcast that you still thought Galaxy was going to make the playoffs. Do you still think that, or has that changed your mind?
I actually think it even more now. Because
why? You think it's going to light a fire under them?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it could definitely have that effect or just have the opposite where everyone's like, well, I guess that's it for this season.
I think it's going to light a fire under them and they're going to be able to make playoffs.
All right, man. I guess we'll see.
I read Kevin Baxter's report about Siggy Schmidt wasn't very liked in the locker room.
Really? So,
yeah, and many players respected Dominic Kinnear more because most of the tactics and everything came from Dominic Kinnear.
That's probably because Zlatan told him, hey, this guy sucks.
Probably. And that's why it actually did say Zlatan does not disagree with those remarks about, you know, not liking him, basically. So that's another thing. It maybe changed the whole locker room effect environment as well, you know, atmosphere, and maybe let them just play more loose and maybe Zlatan's coaching now. Who knows?
Yeah, Zlatan coach and player. Could you imagine? First time in history?
Oh, no. Ryan Giggs did it. Remember? He was a player manager.
Oh, yeah, that's right. First time in MLS.
Definitely first time in MLS.
So where does Siggy go from here?
I don't know. I actually see him going back into the college ranks.
You think that the pro game has passed him, that he's old school now?
I believe so. The last two stints were not successful. I think he goes back to the college world.
Yeah, I mean, unless he signs with Miami FC, but I think Beckham's probably going to hire a high-profile coach. He's not going to want to hire Siggy, unfortunately. But I think maybe one of the new expansion teams might snatch him up. Who knows?
But well, that brings up an interesting thing right there with Beckham's team. I mean, how do you think they're going to do? What kind of coach are they going to go after? And also the big player rumor as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a rumor that Beastman has said if Beckham wants him, that he'll come to Miami. And that's pretty crazy. That just goes to show what kind of power David Beckham has, because he's in his prime. He's wanted by clubs all around the world. And that honestly would be the biggest signing for
MLS
history in terms of playing style and ability and all that. Because obviously, you know, he's not going to bring the kind of attention that Beckham brought just because Beckham's bigger than soccer, right? But in terms of just the talent, that's the most talented player you sign in his prime. That'd be huge for MLS because it might.
They do that, then he attracts everybody else.
Yeah, and that Beckham could be just another trendsetter that he was when he first came. He really made LA Galaxy and MLS big and put soccer on the map in the U.S. And now to do it again with the players to actually come in their prime.
Yeah, I mean, the DP rule is often referred to the Beckham rule.
Yeah,
because it was designed to allow Galaxy to bring in David Beckham.
And if Beckham does that, man, we might have to all, you know, give kudos to him and or something.
Beckham for U.S. president.
Yeah, dude, for real, man. Can you imagine if Beckham was the U.S. soccer president? Woo!
That'd be crazy.
We'd get dual nationals all of a sudden that are playing for U.S. instead of England.
All these England internationals coming over here, huh?
Yeah. Hey, I meant to ask you something before we switch to Miami. Who do you think Galaxy is looking for in terms of a coach? Or you think it's still early and it's going to be a long time before they come up with some leads?
Rumors are that Caleb Porter. Supposedly Caleb Porter and Chris Klein were roommates back in college.
Ah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I was thinking like everybody's kind of high on Greg Berhalter, but I think he's
pretty... That's another one as well.
Yeah, but I think he's going to take the U.S. men's national team job, but we'll talk about that later. Back to Miami, what do you think about the crest and the club name? International Club de Football.
I think it's pretty cool. It's unique. Definitely something that we haven't seen in the MLS. The crest is definitely European style. I really like it, especially the colors. You know, you wouldn't think
I like pink. You know? I like pink. What is it? Palermo in Italy that wears pink?
Yeah, yeah.
And every time they play with the pink and black, I mean, it looks pretty dope.
I think the pink looks amazing. You remember when Juventus went with pink for one season?
And everyone knows
I like it.
Real men wear pink. Yeah, real men wear pink. And you like like the club name too? Internacional?
Yeah, Inter Milan. Yeah, why not?
I mean,
Inter Miami.
Miami. It definitely hasn't been done in MLS because, you know, MLS does the FC, the Sporting, SC. So, I mean, I guess Inter would be next. I don't know if it'll catch on or if people still call it Miami FC instead of Inter Miami or whatever.
I think it just probably shortened down to Inter.
I guess we'll see. It sounds like they're trying too hard, man.
I think it's fantastic.
I mean, obviously,
I'm excited about that franchise.
Obviously, they're trying to make their name as a global brand, kind of like the LA Galaxy. But I mean, definitely, if you got Beckham and if he can get somebody like of Griezmann's caliber, that'd be huge,
dude. That would be, you know, revolutionary.
Yeah. But anyways, more on the club soccer level. What do you think about the CONCACAF Champions Cup? And who do you think is going to win it?
The CONCACAF Champions League, dude?
No, the Cup. It's Champions League. No, it's the winner of the MLS MLS Cup and the Liga MX.
Oh, yeah. It just depends, dude. It depends how the teams take it, if they actually take it serious. Because, you know, like...
But, well, first of all, do you like the tournament? Or not the tournament,
I do.
The game.
I do. There you go. I do in the sense if they take it serious. If they're going to take it lightly, then no.
I mean, I think they are because you know how MLS and Liga MX tried the Superliga and it didn't really catch on. But I think that's because you didn't get the best teams because the best teams went to the Champions League. So you got like the second tier set of each team. And I think it was too many games too. So this is just pretty much your winner against our winner. And I think it's a little bit better, So I think they'll take it serious. So I'm cool with it. And it's just a one game thing. So it's not like you have to dedicate a whole nother tournament, a whole nother set of players that can get potentially injured, you know? Yeah. So I'm cool with it.
I definitely like it because, I mean, that's always what we're hoping for in the CONCACAF Champions League, you know, MLS versus Liga MX. So, I mean, it'll definitely give it to us every year.
Yeah, I agree with
you. And do you know when the date is? Would it be right after the MLS Cup? Would it be before? Would it be where the MLS is actually in form, or is it kind of the same thing?
It's coming up in like 2 weeks. Yeah, and I believe I'm not sure what the exact date is, but it's Toronto, obviously, against Tigres, right?
Did they win that last one? Oh, no. Shit. It's kind of hard to find information on it.
You should probably know that then. I'm pretty sure it's Tigres. But anyways, yeah, I like the tournament.
Playoff.
Is there anything else that we left out about MLS or club soccer? I think that's all I've got.
No, it's an international break, so.
Yeah, international weekend. Games all over the place and all parts of the world. First thing I want to talk about, though, is how do you feel about the UEFA Nations League, and then also how CONCACAF is going to implement it too. And pretty much the FIFA president has said that he kind of wants this all over the world, and that it might lead to another tournament that would kind of rival the World Cup.
I don't know about doing it to rival the World Cup, but yeah, UEFA started it. CONCACAF, some of the lower teams actually started playing already, or starting at the end of this month. So I like it in the sense that you're going to get a lot more international fixtures, and it's going to give the lower tier teams a chance to actually play some of the bigger teams in their region, you know, because now the bigger teams can't deny it, since it's kind of like a league, you know, and kind of the whole promotion relegation thing makes sense as well. And I'm all for it to decide, like, you know, here in CONCACAF, it decides who gets to play in the Gold Cup, you know, the first 16 teams or whatever. But to kind of lead to another World Cup style tournament, I disagree with that.
Yeah, I'm not cool with that either, because I think it'll just take away how magical the World Cup is. And
definitely, I mean, you can already see the Confederations Cup. I mean, yeah, we watch it, but it's not as special as the World Cup.
Shit, I don't even watch it.
Because it's Confederations Cup is basically a test run.
Well, it's
eight nations.
Yeah, and it's always played in the who's ever's hosting the World Cup, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's basically a test run a year before to make sure they're able to run everything for the World Cup. So
yeah. Well, I kind of like the way, I guess, CONCACAF is doing it, even though I don't really fully get it. But I was trying to see how the UEFA is doing it, because there's, like, some form of qualifying for the Euro Championship, but it's only four teams, right?
Well, the way it works is there's different divisions in the Nations League. So, again, it's a little complex, and they haven't, like, just come out and say this is the way it works. You've kind of had to, like, do a bunch of research on our own, you know. But basically, it's, like, a bunch of different divisions, like three or four teams in each division. And then you're winning points, and then you move up divisions and stuff like that. And then the way the CONCACAF is doing it is, like, the top 16 teams qualify for the original.
Yeah,
the
I get.
So I'm assuming UEFA is kind of doing the same.
They're not. That's the thing I'm telling you, is that us looking it up and everything I could say, it's like only four teams out of the tournament qualify for the Euros. It's weird. So theirs is even more. That's why I said I like the way CONCACAF doing it, because it directly leads to qualifying for the Gold Cup. There is like only part of it, a very small portion, because there's 24 teams, and only four of it are going to come from that tournament, or whatever, or the league.
they have the Nations League A, B, C, and D. And in A, they have four different groups, three teams in each group. Same thing in B, same thing in C, same thing in D.
I don't know. I guess we'll see how it shakes up.
Yeah, the Nations League is something new and kind of confusing to everybody.
Yeah, but I do like that games are more competitive now, that, you know, they're actually fielding starters and not just the B team / C team. The only thing I will say is I do feel that with the World Cup just ending and everything, that it's really soon to be having, you know, international games again. So
and the thing is, it's soon, and then these lower tier teams like the CONCACAF region, usually right now in September, November-ish, I know the World Cup just passed, but the very, very bottom teams start qualifiers. So how are you going to balance it out?
Yeah, see, that's a difficult thing, and obviously the CONCACAF qualifying for the World Cup is all convoluted too, and, you know, it'll probably be reconfigured once there's an expanded World Cup, right? And if they don't decide to expand it on this one.
Yeah, because they still might. So I don't know. Maybe they use the Nations League in itself as like qualifiers, but I doubt it. It's just everything's been thrown up into the air and nothing's been kind of set in stone and defined.
Yeah. I guess it'll shape itself up in the coming months. But yeah, I like it so far. But anyways, let's switch gears and talk about the red, white, and blue USA, baby.
USA. Two games this past week, a lot of international friendlies. What are your thoughts, David?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the first game. Brazil versus USA. Obviously, Brazil is a powerhouse team, and they actually fielded a pretty competitive team. I mean, Neymar was there, for God's sake. So it's not like they just sent out, you know, some crappy team out there. And their crappy team is usually like our A team anyways. but, yeah, it's what you kind of expected. Brazil had a lot of possession. I want to say the stats are probably close to 80 to 20% possession. They had better chances. The U.S. had really few and far between chances. But for the most part, I think they did pretty well considering it was a mainly young roster. I mean, I think the only veteran players on the squad were Yedlin, Jonathan Brooks, Bobby Wood.
And that being said, Yedlin and Jonathan Brooks are young themselves.
Yeah, they were the young ones from the older guard that, you know, is pretty much going to get kicked out. Jaycee Sardis actually, you know, he's one of the veteran that was there too. And I think in both friendlies, he's actually played pretty well as a lone forward up there. I don't know if you had a chance to see anything, but.
Unfortunately, not going to front. I had to work, so I wasn't able to see anything.
Here come the excuses.
But what I've been hearing is, USA, although young, I guess what people are saying, and I agree, is that although they're very young, that's really good, but they don't see any creativity one-on-one going forward.
Yeah, I agree. And that being said, I think now we're getting to the point where we've seen enough of the rotating youngsters where we can assess what positions do we not have a young up-and-comer that can take that position and grow, and maybe take one of those veteran type players like a Bradley or an Altidor that could kind of fit in there.
And now it's just about playing a consistent lineup.
Yeah.
And you know, giving these youngsters a real shot. So I hope whoever the U.S. goes after for a coach that they keep this young squad in line, because there's a lot of talent there.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, I don't know if you heard Taylor Twellman's rant before the Mexico game, or was it a halftime? Either way, he kind of went on a rant saying that if Ernie Stewart and U.S. Soccer waited a whole year to leave Dave Sarakat in charge, and they're just going to hire Greg Berhalter, which is fine with him because he likes Greg Berhalter, why did we wait a year? if we're not signing somebody, if we weren't looking at somebody like Pep Guardiola or Jose Mourinho, Greg Berhalter was there the whole time. The World Cup had nothing to do with signing him as a coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could have signed him a long time ago.
And that's the thing.
Especially once they went on break from the MLS.
Yeah, so it's really weird because if we end up signing Greg Berhalter, it's like, why didn't we do this a long time ago?
Unless they were planning on waiting for somebody, and then that fell through the cracks, and now they're just settling.
I mean, unless they're letting him finish the season with Columbus Crew, and then he can make his decision if he wants to go to Austin or something. But, I mean, it's just kind of crazy because all these friendlies, it's like I don't know if Greg Berhalter is just watching from his TV all these friendlies so he can assess people. But if you have all these friendlies and you don't have a coach and then he comes in, what's the point in having all these young players playing if there's not a coach that's going to assess them and then start creating an actual consistent squad?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, dude. Well, supposedly there were rumors of David Moyes too, and that they saw him in New York City riding the subway or something like that. Jeez. I don't know. I'm just ready to see, you know, hey, here's our coach. Boom, let's move on. Even if it's Arsene Wenger.
And did you hear Ernie Stewart said that whoever the coach is, he wants them to know English?
Did he say that?
Yeah. Which, I mean, it makes sense. So you can communicate with your players.
Shot fired at Tata Martino.
Yeah, but who cares, man? Tata is cool.
Hey, he's just been linked to Argentina.
Yeah, I heard that. And he better not leave, man, because he's doing a lot of good stuff here. A lot of, in Argentina, yeah. you could be fired in a year from now, and everybody in the country hates you.
Not even. He's already been fired, and everybody hated him. Now that
Well, let's talk about the big one, man. Rivalry. Mexico versus USA. And
yeah, it's interesting because both teams fielded a young squad, so
which is cool. I like that,
though. Which is really good. And it seemed to me that the rivalry was still up there, you know.
Well, except for the crowd, which is obviously pro Mexican, just like usual. And I didn't even know there were that many Mexicans in Nashville, to be honest. But the game was kind of lackluster in the beginning. I mean, it didn't feel like a rivalry game. Both very young squad, so it was really sloppy, really messy. Not a lot of goal scoring opportunities for either side. And then the U.S. in the first half playing very, very timid and scared. Like nobody wanted to make a mistake, so they just kept passing the ball in their defensive third all the way around, and nobody wanted to take anybody. Mexico, on the other hand, you know, they outplayed the U.S. in the first half. They were the ones that were actually trying to take players, had more of the possession and had better opportunities. It just, they couldn't put it, they couldn't score. And that guy, Linus, he put Will Trapp on his ass, man. Made him look stupid.
And he put Miazga on his ass.
No, he didn't put Miazga on his ass.
On that same play, are you kidding me? He made Miazga look dumb. Did you not watch it?
I'll have to go back and see. All I just saw was Will Trapp.
It was Will Trapp, then right after is Miazga.
He crossed it right after he took Will Trapp.
Dude, oh my goodness. Whatever. You have to watch the play.
Typical Mexican fanboy.
Everyone's talking about it on Twitter.
Typical Mexican fanboy. Speaking
over Mexico.
Hey, Matt Miazga's my hero now.
The shorty joke?
Yeah, but honestly, up until that point, the game was not – there was not that much intensity for a Mexico-U.S. rivalry game. And after that moment, you could just see everything got ratcheted up. The U.S. were more intense. And then soon after, I mean, that's when Mexico gets the red card. And after that, obviously, the game completely changes because the U.S. now is not playing so timid. Obviously, they're a man up. And they start putting pressure and getting a lot of opportunities. And sure enough, Tyler Adams scores a goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was a beautiful word goal. I just think everyone's over-exaggerating on the whole Matt Miazga thing. It's part of sports. You taunt, you make fun of. It is what it is. I know people are saying, oh, because U.S. soccer only cares about height. And yeah, for the most part, you hear it a lot. But, I mean, I think anyone's done that before. A player did it to Messi, the best player in the world. You get me?
And yeah,
he's playing in Spain. What you're gonna say? Oh, it's because Spain only cares about height. I mean,
yeah, and for those of you that didn't watch the game, Matt Miazga is like 6'4", and this guy Linus is probably like
5'6". Yeah.
And there was just a play where Linus was trying to beat Miazga, and he ended up losing the battle and started pulling his shirt, and the ref called the foul. And then Miazga and him kind of got in each other's face, and Miazga made a joke about his height and put his hand like he's making it really low, like a short joke, and then looking over him like a lot of players have done around the world to short people. But yeah, I agree with you, man. It's just, it's part of it. It's fun. Just make fun of people. And that's what makes this rivalry even better too, that you have now, everybody's going to be thinking about that. It pissed off the Mexicans for sure.
I think Matt Miazga became the new Landon Donovan.
Hell yeah. Now he's just got to pee on, he's got to pee in the Azteca.
Yeah. Let's hope in 20 years he doesn't say, vamos Mexico.
Oh God, dude, that killed me. That literally, ate a piece of my soul away. But yeah, so U.S. went to win at 1-0. Honestly, they didn't deserve to win. Probably a draw would have been the best outcome. But yeah, like you said, there's a lot of talent out there for both teams. Mexico has got a lot of young talent. U.S. has a lot of young talent. It's just hopefully they can harness it and put a team together that can really accentuate those qualities.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we bring over a manager that can bring the best out of them, a lot of these players are young and from playing in Europe, so they're used to that style of soccer as well. I think we have a bright future in front of us. You know, I always said about the DA. The DA was just started in 2007, so
Double now this Army. Next world.
No, stupid ass. the development academy. And I believe, you know, this next World Cup cycle is where you can really judge whether the DA system and our youth system is good or not. And as you can see, there's a lot of talented players. There was 9 players yesterday versus Mexico that are Academy alumni. So meaning they come from all these different sorts of DAs, as well as Christian Pulisic, a DA alumni. So, yeah, I believe the infrastructure is there, just that it was started in 2007. So obviously these players weren't ready for a World Cup qualifying 4 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. Are there any players that stood out for you, or that, you know, some positions that you feel that need to, that aren't really being fulfilled or open?
I still feel our striker position isn't the best. You know, I like Zardes a lot. I like Bobby Wood. I just feel like we don't have a true striker that'll just, you know, like a Kun Agüero up there that's just going to finish all day long.
Yeah, and that, and I was hearing some folks say that, honestly, if you had to look at all our strikers, Jozy Altidore is the best we got, and he's still relatively young. So, you know, maybe he takes a position for now until somebody else can do a better job.
Yeah, basically until I have a kid.
Yeah. And that being said, you mentioned the playmaker, which, you know, you don't need a playmaker to win a game, but I think it makes things easier. And that's kind of why we liked Michael Bradley. So it's kind of why we liked Michael Bradley and why we got so frustrated, because a lot of pressure was put on him to create. But that being said, he's got a great vision for soccer. So it might not be too late for him. And, you know, I think Will Trapp was supposed to be that player. He wasn't really there, at least not in the Mexico game. I like Tyler Adams. He played pretty well. He got the goal, obviously.
Tyler Adams is a beast.
Julian Green looked well when he came in at halftime against Mexico. I like the way Miazga played, even though sometimes he gave the ball away. But hopefully he's just not another Omar Gonzalez that turns off for that one important time in the match.
Yeah, I agree, dude. I mean, like we said, a lot of talent. Hoping they get consistent minutes in their clubs and moving on from there.
Yeah, well, yeah, so far so good. We got a lot of big friendlies coming up, so hopefully at least we got one win under our belt already. So if we lose the rest of them, at least it won't be a complete blowout.
Yeah, dude, I completely agree.
Yeah,
I think that's about it for this week.
Yeah, you guys like us on Facebook, our Facebook page, Sunday League's Finest. You guys got any comments or questions?
Also have a Twitter account.
Oh, yeah, drop it. same thing.
Twitter account, Sunday League's Finest on Twitter. Check us out Twitter, Facebook. Send us an email, sunday.leagues.finest@gmail.com. We really appreciate any feedback. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, anything you guys get your hands on.
Yeah, 5 stars because we're 5-star guys doing this podcast.
If you guys want, we can put some selfies up there so that way you can give us 5 stars.
Yeah, shirtless, so it'll make you guys like it even more. You got a 6-pack, right, Obi?
Yeah, hidden underneath my fat.
All right, man.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. You guys have a blessed rest of your week.
Peace.